What's going on, everyone? Welcome to Bill's Breakdown. I am Nate Schreiber.
And I am Alex Pallinger. Welcome to the second edition of the podcast. Today we're going to touch a little bit on kind of the strange Eric Wood saga that's unfolded over the weekend. And then we're also going to get into a breakdown of the quarterback position. We'll talk some Tyrod Taylor, the free agent class, take a look at draft prospects, and then we'll make a prediction on who we think the starting quarterback is in week one. So, Nate, what were your thoughts on the Eric Wood injury and just how that whole thing unfolded?
It was super weird how all of that unfolded. So Friday morning, what was it, like 9:30, that fantasy website tweets out that there's a Bills offensive starter with a career-ending injury, and then everyone starts speculating who it is, and you can see the reporters on Twitter going crazy trying to get an inside scoop and figure out who the player is. And it took him about, 3 hours before it comes out that it's Eric Wood. And then he confirms it on Twitter later that day. It's a very unfortunate thing. Eric Wood is one of the most beloved Bills on the team and longest tenured Bills as well. And it's just super unfortunate how all of that happened. What did you think first after hearing it and then after that weird press conference today?
Well, first, you know, like everyone, I wanted to figure out who it was, but, you know, after the press conference today, Eric Wood did say in there that this was a leak. So I kind of have a bit of a problem with how this whole thing unfolded, that whoever the source was, you know, kind of went against Eric Wood's wishes to come out and say this in his own press conference. And, you know, it's kind of the smartphone age now where we have to know everything instantly. And I understand the media is just trying to do their job there, but I think it was pretty unfair to Eric Wood to kind of take that opportunity away from him to, you know, tell the Bills fans where he's spent his whole career that he's no longer going to be able to play. But the press conference today was kind of strange almost. He showed up, you know, 55 minutes late and gave a minute and a half speech and didn't take any questions. But I think a lot of speculation is that this has something to do with his contract situation and the union and how that whole thing's going to unfold with the Bills cap space.
Yeah, I saw John Warrow wrote an article earlier today discussing how it's possible the Bills could ask for bonus money back from Eric Wood, which, I mean, if that's what they're doing, it's kind of ridiculous. I don't see why you would do that to a player like that, but it also seemed like there's something else weird with his contract, with the Players Association has to get involved. And I think that to your point of the Bills already rolled all of their salary cap space over to next year, so they really don't have any cap space until the start of the new league year, which means they can't cut Eric Wood because of the dead caps they'd have to take on.
Right, and it just seems like a really weird situation overall of what they're going to have to do there. From the sounds of it, he's going to be on the roster for at least a little while until they can figure out what they have to figure out here technically and what they might have to deal with the players' union and the league to kind of resolve the situation here.
Yeah, I think if they knew about this contract situation prior to scheduling this press conference for Monday, I have no idea why they scheduled a press conference. They could have gotten away with Eric putting out a statement and then saying, we'll get back to you at a later time once we iron out the underlying issues and have a press conference once they have all these questions answered, because what they did today just didn't really make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I completely agree. The whole situation is just really bizarre. So we'll keep monitoring that as we go forward here through the offseason. So now we'll get into the QB stuff and how we're going to break down the position. So the Bills have two quarterbacks on the roster as of now. And that's Tyrod Taylor and Nathan Peterman. And I guess a third if you count Joe Webb. So I guess what are your thoughts on Tyrod Taylor?
I think Tyrod is who he is. He is an average to above average starter in the NFL. He is not going to win you a ton of games with his arm, but he's going to make a couple, two, three, four plays every single game where you just are amazed that he was able to do that, and he is going to generally be able to put your team in a position to win a game. He probably isn't going to go out and win a game by himself, but he's also not going to lose one by himself.
Right, and you know, we've seen, you know, close over 40 games probably of Tyrod Taylor starting now, So you're right, we do have a good idea of what he does bring to the table and what he doesn't bring to the table. And I think the key thing is he doesn't turn the ball over. And all the Bills fans clamoring for Nathan Peterman there after the Saints loss kind of saw how valuable that is when Nathan Peterman came out and threw 5 interceptions in the first half against the Chargers.
Yeah, so that's definitely probably the biggest positive that you get from Tyrod Taylor is he protects the football. And when he's put in a position to succeed in an offense, he can do some good things with his arm, as we saw in 2016, especially in 2015 under Greg Roman. And then this year when Rick Dennison tried to install that more West Coast timing type offense, Tyrod really struggled as a passer. And a big chunk of that can definitely be attributed to him not fitting in the scheme they were trying to run.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right there, Nate. And we saw where Tyrod Taylor really excelled in 2017 still, even though it was a down year for him, was when he got in those situations on rollouts or where he escaped the pocket on his own and kind of improvised and, you know, finds Nick O'Leary 30 yards down the field just dropping the ball in on a dime. You know, it seems like he makes a lot of those plays that not many other guys in the league can. And you also get those quarterback draws on those third and long situations that somehow he picks up the first down. It's just something you're not going to get with a typical pocket passer. And I think that's something Bills fans kind of take for granted when Tyrod Taylor's on the field. I know he's kind of the brunt of a lot of criticism, but, you know, the guy got you to the playoffs this year.
Yeah, he did get us to the playoffs this year, and that if he hadn't done that, I would say the chances of him being on the roster in 2018 would be zero. But given the fact that he did lead the team to the playoffs and he is still under contract for next year, what do you think the chances are that Tyrod is still a Buffalo Bill come September?
I was thinking about this after the playoff loss, and I think it's probably somewhere around 30%. I don't think there's a great chance that he's still there. But looking at the free agent class and the realistic options there and, you know, their complicated draft situation with how far down they are because they made the playoffs, you know, there's a lot of different scenarios that could shake out here. So, I mean, I think if you can't land a guy you really want in free agency, which there's not many, and if you can't get up to the top of the draft to get a guy that you think can start immediately, I think there's a decent chance Tyrod Taylor is still the starter in week one.
Yeah, the one issue the Bills have is the way his contract is structured, and they have to pay him that $6 million roster bonus if he's still on the roster on the third day of the league year, or the first day of the league year. So in that legal tampering period, they can try to trade him and try to come to an agreement with a free agent quarterback. And knowing they have an agreement, they can either cut him or trade him. But the Bills really have 48 hours here in about 6 weeks where they have to make a decision on Tyrod. And I think a big part of that decision they make is going to depend on what they're able to do free agency-wise or trade-wise in that 48-hour period.
Right, and I just don't see a scenario where Tyrod Taylor is cut. I mean, I understand they're going to have to pay him a lot of money if he's on the roster, but the guy has value. You know, we don't know what that value is. We're not in the room with Brandon Bean making trade discussions, but I think you could at least get like a third-round pick out of him, wouldn't you think?
I'm not sure if you could get a third-round pick for him. I think you have to look at what other teams in the league have at quarterback and where he might fit as a starter. And I think Jacksonville is a place that he might fit, and that's probably his best fit. I just don't know. First of all, Blake Bortles is going to be coming back. And second of all, if the Jaguars would want Tyrod Taylor. So if there's not a trade partner out there that's willing to give up anything, which there's a chance that no one's going to want that contract if he's not going to be their starting quarterback. So there's a chance that they can't find a good trade partner for him, or they might have to give up a fifth or a sixth. They could only get a fifth or a sixth for him.
Yeah.
But I think in a good market, maybe he could be a third or a fourth rounder. I mean, you saw Jimmy Garoppolo was only traded for a second rounder, though, and he looks like a franchise guy.
Right. And the Garoppolo situation was kind of awkward as well. There were reports that, you know, the Patriots had been offered a first-round pick or something like that from the Cleveland Browns months before he was actually traded. So I think you're right, maybe the market maybe is down closer to that fourth, maybe fifth round, depending on who you can get to, you know, take interest in him. And I think Jacksonville would be a good fit You know, they are a run-first offense. Tyrod Taylor protects the ball, something that Blake Bortles doesn't always do. And, you know, I think they would definitely consider Tyrod Taylor an upgrade from Blake Bortles.
So, looking at the free agent class of quarterbacks, there are quite a few big to fairly big names that are potentially going to be free agents, barring teams re-signing them before the start of the league year. Looking at that list, do you think any of those guys are likely to become Bills, or would you like to see one of them in a Bills uniform?
You know, I think the most intriguing ones are probably the Vikings quarterbacks. I can only see the Vikings keeping one out of those three guys. It's going to be quite expensive to keep two. Case Keenum doesn't really interest me. I'm not sure if he interests the Bills. He's 30 years old. We know what he is at this point. But I think, you know, Teddy Bridgewater or Sam Bradford on an affordable contract is something that could be intriguing for the Bills. And those are guys that could be a bridge quarterback for, you know, potentially drafting a rookie to take over in a year or two. Is there any guys on the list that really jump out to you?
I mean, I would love to see the Bills go shell out the big money for Kirk Cousins. The thing for me with Kirk Cousins versus drafting a rookie is you know what Kirk Cousins is. He is mostly an elite quarterback. I mean, he has his off days, but I would say he's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. He's been stuck in not a great situation in Washington, and he could come into a situation in Buffalo that's pretty stable and has an fairly established defense under Sean McDermott and potentially have some good success here.
Right. I could see how Cousins could be successful in Buffalo, but I think people a lot of times get enamored by those big volume stats he puts up, where those 450-yard games, you know, he throws a lot of touchdowns. But I'm not so sure he's the elite quarterback that some people make him out to be. You know, the NFL's kind of got a void of quarterback talent apart from the top right now. So a guy like Kirk Cousins right now is a top 10 quarterback. But with this draft class coming in, you know, in a few years we could see Cousins being just – you know, another guy. You know, and Kian Fahey's done a lot of work with analyzing and charting quarterbacks, and he's pointed out a lot of things with the flaws in Cousins. You know, he doesn't throw the ball down the field a lot. They have Josh Doctson in Washington, and it's like he almost ignores Doctson the entire game. Then someone gets in his head and says, you know, throw it to Doctson. He'll do it a couple times and then just ignore him for the rest of the game. And Doctson's, you know, certainly got the frame to be a top-flight wide receiver in the league. So I think Cousins just gets a lot of yardage after the catch from guys like Crowder, and I'm just not completely sold on him as a franchise quarterback.
If Kirk Cousins is not the way to go for Buffalo, the only other free agent I think they should look into signing, if they can be sure of his health, is Teddy Bridgewater. Because in that situation, you have a quarterback who, if he stays healthy, could be your franchise quarterback. He's still only 25 years old. His career has a completion percentage of 65% in the NFL, and he's played like a top half of the field starter in his time in Minnesota. I just think his injury history kind of knocks him down a couple notches.
Right. His, you know, that was a devastating knee injury. We wondered if he was ever going to play again. But we can also see Bridgewater kind of coming on almost at a discount if he turns out to, you know, be what he was before. And like you said, he's only 25 years old, so there's still some room for development there. If you can get a guy like that on a few-year contract, you know, under the market price for a starting quarterback, you know, it could be a really good move by Brandon Bean, but there's also a lot of risk there. You could throw away a lot of money if, you know, his knee's just not able to allow him to continue to be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
That's a similar issue, I think, with Sam Bradford as well. The difference is he's 5 years older, but he's another quarterback who has struggled to stay healthy, and you can't necessarily count on him to be a 16-game starter just given his injury history. But I think the difference between the two is Bradford's a guy you sign for 1 or 2 years to kind of be a bridge, and if you're going with Teddy Bridgewater, you have to be planning on him being a long-term solution.
Right, and what would you say, like, the length of a contract would be for both of those guys?
Sam Bradford, maximum 2 years, given his injury history and age. I think Teddy Bridgewater, you could do something that is a long-term deal with not a lot of money guaranteed, with escalators and incentives based on games played. So if he does stay healthy, he gets paid. If he doesn't, then he doesn't get paid like a starting quarterback.
Right, and I almost picture that being structured kind of how the Bills ideally wanted Tyrod Taylor's long-term contract to be structured, where they kind of have an out every year or two, you know, if he doesn't shake out to be what they want him to be. So that would be an intriguing option for me. One name that I think a lot of people are kind of missing on is that Drew Brees could potentially be a free agent quarterback. He's 39 years old. Would you want Drew Brees in Buffalo?
That's a really tough question. Just because he's probably going to play one more year of football. I can't see him playing more than another year. And it'd be great to have Drew Brees in Buffalo. If you are going to draft a rookie that you definitely don't want to play and you can get him for an affordable price, I just don't think the Bills are going to be a Super Bowl team next year. I think they're at least 2 years away from really competing at the top echelon of the NFL. And I don't know if it's worth spending the salary cap space on Drew Brees knowing that.
Right, I completely agree. You know, it's kind of like what the Colts did this year, trading for Jacoby Brissett once it looked like Luck was going to be out for at least part of the season. It ended up being the whole season. It doesn't make sense to really expend a lot of monetary resources or draft picks to get a quarterback when you're not really close. Yeah, the Bills made the playoffs this year, but I think every Bills fan can be honest with themselves and admit this team isn't anywhere near contending for a Super Bowl in 2018. But like you said, 2019, if they have a couple good draft classes, get some big free agents, I think, you know, they could be competing for the AFC title.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And that brings me to another name that I've heard thrown out a lot that could potentially be the Bills' starting quarterback next year, and that is Alex Smith in Kansas City. It seems like the Chiefs are at least considering trading him and going with Patrick Mahomes. And he has 1 year left on his deal, so he could potentially be another bridge guy in the vein of Bridgewater, except Alex Smith stays healthy, and he's had consistent success in the NFL. He hasn't been elite by any means, but he hasn't been a bad quarterback either. I think he's anywhere from 10 to 15 depending on the week in terms of his ranking in NFL starting quarterbacks.
Right, and the one issue I have with acquiring Alex Smith is that you're going to have to give up a draft pick to get him, and evaluating the whole situation, is Alex Smith worth, you know, a second or a third round pick when you already have Tyrod Taylor, who's really not much worse than Alex Smith? Smith is definitely probably a better passer, but not so much so that I think it's worth giving up one of those draft picks where you could plug a hole elsewhere. Like we mentioned on last week's pod, there are a lot of holes on this team that, you know, those extra picks can help. I just don't see Brandon Bean giving up a draft pick for Alex Smith.
So then let's assume the Bills don't sign a free agent, a big name free agent quarterback. They maybe sign a bridge guy, and Tyrod Taylor's not coming back. Looking at the NFL draft, if that's the scenario where you're going to be able to draft a quarterback and he's not going to have to necessarily start in week one, who do you think are good options for the Bills out there?
A lot of it depends on how the draft unfolds, but I think Baker Mayfield is far and away probably the most ready to be an NFL starting quarterback right now. I also think he has the highest ceiling. The issue is going to be, can the Bills get up into the top five to take him? I just don't see how he's going to slip past Denver at that five slot in the draft. And, you know, with how many quarterback needy teams there are, the Bills are going to have to cough up quite a bit to move up.
Yeah, that's the issue. I think that there's a good chance that four quarterbacks go in maybe the top six. And then after those, if those four go and the Bills can't get up into one of those slots, and given the market for what it looks like the market for quarterbacks is going to be, it's probably going to cost more than just 21 and 22 to move up into the top five. And I'm not sure if that's worth it unless you are 100% sure this quarterback is a franchise quarterback and is going to be your quarterback for the next 15 years.
Right. And like I stated, I think Mayfield is that guy for them. I'm okay with moving up into the top five for Mayfield, so long as they don't have to sell the farm to get up there. I just don't see it immediately with Rosen or Darnold or Allen. Those guys are kind of all projects. And with the Bills kind of needing a bridge quarterback, it doesn't make sense to trade up and expend a lot of picks to get a guy that's a project and not going to start for you right away. I see Mayfield as a guy that can come in and be the starter day one for 2018.
I'll slightly disagree with you there. I think Josh Rosen is ready to be an NFL quarterback. He is definitely the most polished of the other three, and he does a lot of NFL things. When he was playing college, he was able to read the field really well, move guys with his eyes, make tough throws into tough windows, and I think he will probably be a week one starter for whoever drafts him. Josh Allen, I don't think is going to be a good NFL quarterback. I just don't see it. I mean, he had a decent week at the Senior Bowl. He made some great throws in practice, but he also made some terrible throws that I just can't. I don't even know what he was trying to throw at. I think that if, as Mel Kiper thinks, the Cleveland Browns are going to take him number one, I think that's just a huge mistake. But I don't. Again, I don't think Mayfield is rated by most teams higher than Rosen or Allen. Maybe Darnold, maybe, but I just don't see the Bills moving up into the top five to get one of those guys.
Right. I think that's a highly unlikely scenario due to, you know, the cost of moving up that high. It's going to take 21 and 22, maybe another pick in this draft and next draft to get up that far. Maybe packaging Cordy Glenn in with something. Brandon Bean said he does not want to, you know, sell the farm to move up. And I just see them kind of waiting at 21 or 22 to see what falls to them. Like you said, there could be four quarterbacks going in the top six, but I think there's a lot of depth in this quarterback class that people aren't really talking about. I think Mason Rudolph's maybe one of the surest prospects in this draft. Surest as in you know what he's going to be. I think Mason Rudolph could be a decent starter in the NFL for a long time. I don't think there's a lot of risk involved there if you take him at 21 or 22. What are your thoughts on Rudolph?
I like Mason Rudolph. I think he is a kind of high floor, low ceiling type of quarterback where he's not going to get a ton better when he goes to the NFL, but he already does a lot of things really, really well, and he runs the run pass option very well, and that's something that the Bills hopefully will see a little bit of next year with Brian Daboll. And he's going to be a guy who is going to be a consistent NFL player. I'm not saying that he's compares a ton to Andy Dalton, but I think he's going to have a similar type career as Andy Dalton has had in terms of throwing the ball. Hopefully he'll win more games and not make as many mistakes. But I think in terms of his yardage totals and things like that, he's going to be a similar type quarterback to Andy Dalton.
Right, I think that's a fair comparison. It probably be a little bit better skill-wise than Andy Dalton. But I think we're also forgetting about Lamar Jackson. You know, do you think he's going to be a first-round quarterback? I think that would be a good fit with Brian Daboll. I mean, I know you don't draft a quarterback to fit your offensive coordinator. That's why Rick Dennison was, you know, sent out the door. But I think Jackson could be a good fit in Buffalo.
Yeah, I agree. I think Lamar Jackson is extremely underrated by a lot of scouts. He just has an unbelievable skill set. He has very similar skills to Michael Vick. He is super fast, super agile, has a cannon of an arm, and he's just gonna have a bit of a learning curve when he goes to the NFL. He didn't play in a pro style offense whatsoever at Louisville. And not that he's going to play in a West Coast timing scheme in the NFL, but he's going to have to learn more pro concepts. And I think he's a guy who, if you do draft him, you probably don't want to start him week one.
Right, and I kind of see him, you know, if he had to start week one, as a Tyrod Taylor type quarterback, you know, he's got the arm, he makes plays with his legs. I think he's certainly better in both those areas than Tyrod. But the same issue that Tyrod has, he kind of struggles with his accuracy. I believe his career percentage is below 60%, right?
Yeah, he only completed 56% of his passes this year, which is that's one of my qualms with Josh Allen. Josh Allen never completed in his career more than like 57% of his passes, and accuracy is a thing you can't really teach when a guy comes to the NFL. You kind of learn what their accuracy is in college. Their completion percentage might go up if they make easier throws, but they're not going to get a ton more accurate.
Right. And, you know, there might be some, some depth in the later rounds, maybe second, third, or fourth round with Kyle LaLetta from Richmond and Luke Falk from Washington State, I believe. How would you feel about the Bills waiting that long to take a quarterback?
Luke Falk I like a lot. I do think Luke Falk was a very accurate passer. His numbers were inflated slightly by the offense he played in at Richmond, or at Washington State, sorry. But he is a great pocket passer. He makes accurate throws. He reads the field pretty well, and he's a big guy. I think he's a good option late round. I also really like Chase Litton from Marshall, another guy who is a very accurate passer, has a decent amount of upside, huge body. He's more of a love-hate guy. Most analysts I've seen, some people hate him, some people love him. But I think he's very intriguing to me, I guess I would say, in rounds like 4 or 5 or 6.
Right. So I think, I would almost bet on it that the Bills are going to take a quarterback somewhere in this draft. It's just a matter of where. And if you had to guess, where are the Bills taking a quarterback? What round?
I think that round one is pretty likely. I think especially if Mason Rudolph is available at 21 or 22, I can't see the Bills not drafting him there. I would be very surprised if he did drop that far, if he didn't get snatched up there. If Mason Rudolph is not available and you stay at 21 or 22, probably not going to draft a quarterback in the first round. That's just, I don't think Lamar Jackson is necessarily worth taking a first-round pick on, given he's kind of a high-upside guy, and you don't want to have another E.J. Manuel situation.
Right. And, I think it also depends a lot on what kind of talent on the defensive side of the ball is available at 21 or 22. Because if Roquan Smith or Vita Vey or any other of those big defensive tackle names are there, I think if both Roquan Smith and an immediate starter at defensive tackle are available, I think the Bills almost have to think about taking both of those guys and then, maybe trade back up into the front end of round two to take Rudolph or Jackson. I don't know, there's just so many holes on this roster that it's hard to pass up two immediate starters.
I have faith that Brandon Bean and staff have a draft board laid out and that they know exactly how they value the quarterbacks, and they're going to probably be sticking to their board. I can't see Brandon Bean being the type of guy that makes a big reach off what his board is telling him. And I'm not sure how they value Rudolph or Jackson, but I can't see them drafting him at 21 or 22 if they're not one of the best players remaining on their draft board.
Right, and we kind of saw that last year in the draft. Brandon Bean, I don't think he was there at the draft, correct? It was still Doug Whaley.
Doug Whaley was still the GM for the draft.
Right, yes. And Sean McDermott was basically calling the shots. But we saw, McDermott wasn't afraid to pull the trigger and, trade up to get a guy that they thought had fallen too far and was at the top of their board. The examples being Zay Jones and Deion Dawkins. And Deion Dawkins looks like he's the future left tackle for Buffalo. So, you're not going to hit on every draft pick, but last year's draft, I thought they did really well. So if they can, come close to replicating that success with their picks, I really trust McDermott and Bean, given what I've seen through a year, for them to make the right decision.
Yeah, I do too, and that's why I'm not really that worried about the draft. I am slightly worried about the quarterback situation for next year, but I don't think the Bills are a team that, like we said earlier, is going to compete for an AFC title next year. So regardless of who you have at quarterback, I don't think that matters. And I would not be totally against either having Tyrod Taylor or a free agent and drafting a rookie to learn for a year rather than throwing them right into the fire week one this year, because what you don't want to do is take a step back as a team next year, put a quarterback in there that's not necessarily ready yet and only win 5 or 6 games. A, because it's probably not good for the quarterback, and B, I don't think you want to do that to the team and the fan base at the same time. And after, you know, after drafting a quarterback, and the Bills haven't had a ton of success with that, I think that it wouldn't look good on the team if they start a rookie who's not ready.
Right. And I think if you bring Tyrod Taylor back as the starting quarterback next year with, you know, a rookie in the middle rounds to learn behind him for a year, it gives you a lot of flexibility to add some talent to, you know, to improve the roster. I mean, Tyrod Taylor got you 9 wins. I know he didn't start the Colts game in the snow, but we can kind of throw that one out. That was just such a weird game in general. But I think Tyrod Taylor can get you, you know, 8 to 10 wins every season, provided that you have a decent defense. And, you know, if they can get him some better weapons on offense just somewhere, I think, you know, they can be a 9 or 10 win team again and make the playoffs next year.
Yeah, let's not forget the Bills. 2 years ago, they were what? Were they in the top 5 in offensive touchdowns 2 years ago?
I know they were in first going into week 17 before, you know, EJ Manuel started week 17, and they put up like 3 points against the Jets. But I think they did finish in the top 5 in offensive touchdowns.
Yeah, so you have to remember that. Tyrod Taylor led a team to the top of the league in offensive touchdowns in the NFL. He's done it before. And granted, he did have more weapons that year, Sammy Watkins, Robert Woods. But there's nothing to say that if he gets in a more friendly offense next year, he can't do even 2/3 of that in 2018.
Right. And a lot of the critics of Tyrod Taylor are going to point to the 3-and-outs. I think they led the league in 3-and-outs that year. So you're going to get a lot of volatility, but you come to expect that with Tyrod Taylor now. And if you improve the defense, you know, I think that allows them to play more of that, you know, ball control game where they try to run the ball and control the clock for 40 minutes. So, you know, maybe if the quarterbacks that they want go too early, that gives them the opportunity to really beef up that defense and, you know, stick to that identity that they want.
Yeah, I guess what we're going to learn come draft time is whether Sean McDermott values having a franchise quarterback, or he values even higher having franchise-type players up the middle on defense at tackle and linebacker, which the Bills are sorely lacking right now, which he had in Carolina with Star Lotulelei and Luke Kuechly.
Right. So I'm not much into the sports radio prediction game, but we'll put the date stamp on this, January 29th, 2018. Who does Nate Schreiber say is the quarterback for the Buffalo Bills week 1?
I think it's going to be Alex Smith. I wouldn't personally want Alex Smith to be the starting quarterback for the Buffalo Bills in 2018, but I think that's the route they're going to go. I think that they are ready to move on from Tyrod Taylor, both as an organization and the fan base. They definitely wouldn't be thrilled. Not that you do things to please your fan base, but I can't even imagine the reaction in Buffalo if Tyrod Taylor is the starting quarterback next year. And I think Alex Smith is a guy that is a good fit. He's on a 1-year deal, basically. Can be a bridge, and I think they're going to do that, and they're going to draft a rookie in the first 2 rounds with the hopes of whoever they draft being their starting quarterback in 2019. What do you think they're going to do for 2018?
I'm going contrarian here. The starting quarterback's going to be Tyrod Taylor.
So you think they're going to keep him on the roster? Are they going to draft a rookie?
I do think they draft a rookie, either at 21 or 22, or they move back up into that, you know, front of the second round. They do have the extra second round pick. They might not need to give up both second round picks to move up that far. I haven't looked at the trade value chart, but I think they can give up something like a second and a fourth, maybe, to, you know, kind of move up around pick 40 to take Rudolph or Jackson. I think that's probably the most likely scenario, but as we said, there's so many different avenues they can go. I put the chance of Tyrod Taylor being the starter at about 30%. I think that's probably the best chance of anything.
Yeah, I would put my Alex Smith around 30% too, as in my opinion, as the Bills quarterback. I think the majority of the time, greater than 50% chance that it's going to be one of those two guys in 2018. Maybe if they sign another free agent, which I think you do have to sign a free agent if you move on from Tyrod or trade for Alex Smith. I think the most likely guy they try to go after is Sam Bradford.
Right, I think that's a pretty likely scenario. And as we get closer to, I believe March 14th is the legal tamper period.
Yeah, I think it starts March 14th at 4 o'clock, and then I think the Bills have 48 hours to figure out what they're going to do to Tyrod, because on March 16th, they have to pay him $6 million if he's still on the roster.
Right, so as we get closer to there, we'll see how those scenarios change. You know, maybe it becomes almost a 0% chance that Alex Smith or Tyrod Taylor is in Buffalo next year. But, you know, that'll be kind of a fun game we get to play as we get closer. We can go through some mock drafts maybe in some future pods. It's going to be interesting, to say the least. And, you know, next week we'll get into the offensive skill positions, what the options are, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. We'll do a similar type breakdown with what they have on the roster, who's available in free agency, and any draft prospects we'd like to see in Buffalo.
Yeah, I think it's always fun to kind of play the speculation game and look ahead and try and guess what's going to happen. But like you said, it's impossible to know at this stage, at that stage in the game. I mean, the Super Bowl hasn't even been played yet, and there's so much time and so many more things the teams have to look at and teams can do prior to free agency opening. And I think it's just going to be a fun ride the next 6 weeks or so, and definitely a fun first 48 hours of after the legal tampering period opens.
And that brings us to an end of episode number 2 of the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I'm your co-host, Alex Pollinger.
And I am Nate Schreiber.
Subscribe, download, give us 5 stars wherever you get your podcasts so others can give it a listen. You can check us out on Twitter, @Bills_Breakdown, and also on Facebook, @Bills Breakdown. Thank you for listening.